Well, good day. It's a smaller crowd than the last time I was here, which is good, I guess. So the topic I am speaking on tonight is the five W's of prayer. That's who, what, where, when, and why. And I'll give you guys a second who take notes to write that down. All right, time's up. We got to keep on going here. So the first point, who? Who do we pray to? So I think that's pretty, not almost self-explanatory, something like that. We pray to God our Father. If we go to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9, and I really had to break this verse down, so it's 9b1. It says, Our Father in heaven. If we look at the title here, it's the Lord's Prayer, and he starts out with, Our Father in heaven. I think that's something we really need to focus on because the Bible talks about not having idols in our life, and we should only be praying to God, our Father, who has done so much for us. I don't have a lot to go into this first point here, but to God our Father, the Bible clearly says that, and yeah, that's kind of where I thought who we should be praying to. Our next point is what? What is prayer? Prayer is just a direct communication, conversation, and fellowship with God, a sincere relational conversation with God that focuses on the heart. So what is the meaning of sincere? Sincere is genuine, honest, free from hypocrisy. If we go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I think this is a good reminder to us that we shouldn't be monotonous in our prayer. You know, we can get caught up in the daily checkbox, you know, for our day. Oh, you know, thank God for breakfast. Thank God for lunch. Thank God for supper. Thank you, God, for this day and keeping us safe. Amen. And we can just leave it at that. I think it's really important that we look at prayer as not as more of a personal connection to our Heavenly Father. Because, I mean, we have fathers in our lives, like earthly fathers. Whenever he comes home, we don't just say hi and then we just leave him at that. Or we don't ask him something and then we leave. You know, we love to cherish that personal father relationship. And I think it's the same thing with God. He is our Father, and he wants us to come to him to hear our wants, our desires, our thoughts. And I think the point here is we shouldn't be focused on the words. As it says in verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. God knows our needs. He also knows our desires. And his will be done no matter if we spend 5 minutes asking God, you know, I need direction in this area of my life. I pray that you show me. His answer is going to be the same whether you spend 5 minutes praying about it or spend a half an hour praying about it. His answer will be the same. His answer won't change even if you use a half-hour long eloquent prayer, because that's more focusing on yourself and not on God. So if we go we did who, we did what, now where, when. And they kind of float in the same boat, but we're going to dive, or I guess sink a little deeper into this point. So where and when should we pray? Well, the simple answer is that is anywhere and always. If we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, and making supplications for all the saints. This is saying here, praying at all times. We should be praying all the time with our Father. Like I was saying earlier about having that direct communication with our earthly Father, we should also have that communication with our Heavenly Father. You know, we should be thinking on Him daily, hourly. If we go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Man, it's really easy to find a reference at home, but when you're up here, you can't find it ever. Oh, there it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I love this verse it says right here. It says it plain and simple, pray without ceasing. It says it right there, pray without ceasing. We should not stop praying to God. We should not stop talking to Him, bringing our thoughts to Him. However, that being said, we can pray anywhere and always. We shouldn't, as I was saying earlier, we shouldn't make a show of it. If you go to Matthew 6, that's where we were before, at the very beginning. Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corner, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This verse is saying here that, again, when we talk to our when we're talking to our Heavenly Father, we shouldn't. The focus shouldn't be on us. It should be focused on a honest heart towards God. Because here's what I was thinking. Like, if we go to downtown Ottawa and we go out in the street corner and we pray so that everyone can hear, God's answer is still going to be the same if everyone sees us or if anyone doesn't see us. It says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I think it's just saying there that God's answer is going to be the same no matter how you do it, where you do it. And it doesn't matter if thousands, hundreds of people are watching you, because His answer is going to be the same. Just because you go out and pray to God out in downtown Ottawa so that everyone can hear and see you isn't going to move His answer any more than it is if you go into your room and talk to your Father alone. So that's where and when, anywhere, always, but being careful that we don't make a show of it, that the focus is not on us, it's on God. And then the last point I have is why, and I think honestly this was my favorite part of the study. So why? I have four points in this point, I guess, is why. Why do we worship? Adoration is the first one here. Adoration, worship. You know, prayer is not only talking to God about our desires or our requests. Talking to God is simply just a genuine heart focus. A sincere relational conversation with the God that focuses on the heart. And I think worship, I mean, that's hitting it there. Like, true, honest worship, that's focused on the heart. If we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 29. First Chronicles chapter 16, verses 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. I think that's a very good verse to describe what worship is. You know, God has done so much for us. He sent his only son to die on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him. And that alone is worth all the worship that we could ever give him. So adoration, worship, that's one type of prayer or communication we can have with God. The second one is confession, seeking forgiveness. If we go to Psalm chapter 51, Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 and 2. This is when Nathan the prophet came to David when he had murdered Bathsheba's husband. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I mean, if that's not a perfect example of confession, of true confession, talking to God, I'm not sure what is, but David murdered Bathsheba's husband so that he could have Bathsheba as his own wife. And he realized later on that was not the right thing to do. And he later on confesses to God, true confession, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. If we go to Psalm chapter 32, verses 5. Psalm 32, verses 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. I know, as us, as human beings, we daily have to confess to the Lord. And asking him for our forgiveness is a huge thing. How the Lord loves a broken nation like us, I don't know. But he does love us, and he loved us enough to send his only son for us. And that kind of, this topic here kind of goes into the next point, the third point, which is thanksgiving and gratitude. If we go to Psalm 100, verses 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. So another form of conversation, of communication we can have with God is thanksgiving. And we can be thankful for him. To him for so many things. I mean, one, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He rose again on the third day. That gives us hope that we can, that gives us a hope in him. I don't know what more to say, but thanksgiving. I mean, if we go to Psalm 36, verses 1, or no, sorry, Psalm 136, verse 1. Get my references mixed up here. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This psalm here goes on about God's steadfast love enduring forever. And that is true. Even though we are a broken nation, even though we have to come to him daily for repentance, he still loves us. And that alone is worth being thankful to him for. So going into my last point is supplications or requests. This is the final reference I have for you guys. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you know what? We're going to jump out on verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God wants to hear our thoughts. He wants to hear desires. Even though he knows what's best for us, he still wants to hear from us. And just because we ask him doesn't mean he'll push it off to the side. You know, he's not going to ignore us. We may request something. He may say yes. He may say no. Or he may say wait a while. But God's will be done in the end.